I'm about an hour outside Emporia. Welcome to the GCN show.
Welcome to the GCN show.
Coming up this week, how does GCN work? We wanted to explain how GCN makes money, how we're able to make the content that we make, and most importantly, why we work the way we do.
Plus, Sai's crystal ball is proving remarkably accurate. The first fully wireless group set from Shimano, the rise of younger cyclists here in the UK, and a couple of hot new aero bikes spotted at the Critérium du Dauphiné.
Dauphiné?
Dauphiné. This week in the world of cycling, we learnt that the aliens have landed at the Critérium du Dauphiné.
Dauphiné.
And the identified flying object called Tadej Pogačar rode to the win on what was supposed to be a sprint stage on day one for a breakaway that, according to the script, shouldn't really have existed.
No, it was amazing to watch, wasn't it? But I couldn't help but think to myself that it didn't really serve to achieve very much. It was kind of just showing off, wasn't it, basically? But having said that, I am totally here for it.
Proper entertainment. We also learned that the power of GCN is real.
Yeah.
So less than a week after Sai said, full suspension gravel bikes are coming, they're here.
Yes, well, almost. A load of cycling media outlets, I'm not sure who was first, jumped on photos of ultra-endurance rider Justin Ass Levica riding what looks like a prototype Trek in the Trans-Balkan race.
Indeed. Drop bars? Check. Short travel suspension? Check.
Yeah, they must have been quick getting that to him after watching the GCN show on Tuesday.
I know, yeah.
And then hurrying it out, but fair play to him. And now sticking with gravel, we also learned that Dan is going to the World Championships. Thank you to the 15,000 of you who clicked on the like button under last week's GCN show. Well over the 10,000 that we needed to make him do it, which of course means that he's going to have to do something else now as well, the Unbound XL.
No, I'm not doing that. I'm nipping that in the bud straight away.
I think you said it last week at the end of the show.
I was delirious, as I mentioned. Mm. I'd not had much sleep the previous night. Anyway, I am actually looking forward to the UCI Gravel World Championships in Limburg, which is why I set the bar quite low for the number of likes needed to achieve that. It's on October the 12th, so I've got around 18 weeks to prepare. All I need now is some Team GB kit, a racing licence, and around a 50% increase in my FTP, I think.
Well, I won't worry too much. We can sort two of those, for sure. Now, finally, we learnt that the tubeless tyre debate is, would you believe it, even more passionate than rim brakes versus disc brakes.
Oh, boy. Ollie really kicked the hornet's nest in his GCN Tech video, which came out the weekend, which he titled, Why I'm Done With Tubeless.
Yeah. Now, leaving that debate aside, for now, because it is definitely not black and white and not one you can put to bed in a minute or so. One of the things that struck us in the comments section were that some people were claiming that he was only saying what he said because he was being paid to say it.
Which he wasn't,
no.
We should state very clearly, and never would be, because that simply is not how we work here at GCN. But you don't know that, and to be fair, we live in a world where it seems like everyone is paid to say something, except perhaps the person making shonky videos in their garage, who ironically probably also has some sort of agenda as well.
Yeah, exactly. So we thought that while perhaps not very interesting, we would tell you, nevertheless, how GCN as a company gets its revenue.
Before we start, though, for those of you here looking for a juicy exclusive, this info has in fact been on the GCN website for about a decade, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's not been hiding,
no.
But neither have we talked about it like this.
No, we haven't.
Before, no.
So, here goes. We have four main income streams from the videos that we make. So firstly, YouTube advertising. So these are the adverts that you see before and during our videos. I'll give them the technical terms, shall we?
Go on then.
Pre-roll,
oh.
Mid-roll, yeah. And skippable and non-skippable adverts.
Yeah. Where did you learn that?
Google.
Now, those are put there by YouTube, not us. But it means that just by watching our videos, you are helping to support GCN, which we are eternally grateful for. Now, for those of you who subscribe to YouTube Premium, which, amongst other things, means that you don't get served adverts, then don't worry, we will also get a small portion of that fee as well, based on how much of our content that you watch.
Great. Beyond that, YouTube memberships and also Super Thanks provide us with another source of income. am. So we currently have three tiers of membership to GCN, two of which will give you access to around about 100 of the GCN Plus documentaries that used to sit behind a paywall when we had our app.
That's right. Now, we really value these as well, both the financial contribution, but also the support as well, right? We put our hearts and souls into GCN, and frankly, it is really nice, super nice, in fact, to get that direct feedback.
That's not emotional blackmail, by the way, it's just a fact.
No, it's not, no.
We also have our own online shop, shop.globalcyclingnetwork.com, where we sell a range of merchandise. So everything from the cycling kit that we wear, to casual clothing that we wear on the shows, to books, bottles, beanies, and some other things that don't begin with a B or a C.
Now that too is a really important component for us to be able to produce all the free-to-view content that we do make. Essentially though, your support as a whole is a large part of what allows us
to have a job, basically.
Have a job, yeah. That's the nuts and bolts of it, isn't it? Now, if you didn't support us, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. And we are incredibly grateful to you for that, and always have been, right? We constantly remind ourselves of how lucky we are to be in this position.
It's a great job. Yeah. We're also supported, though, by the bike industry, and sometimes beyond the bike industry. In another sort of pinch ourselves moment, we have long-term partnerships with almost like a wish list of brands. So with bikes, for example, that's Canyon, Orbea and Pinarello, all of whom have supported us for many years, two of them for over a decade. And we are incredibly proud to work with those three bike companies.
Yeah, and we're fortunate enough to work with a host of other companies as well. I mean, Park Tool, another one, been with us for absolutely yonks to peak. I mean, we really are super, super lucky. All of those companies, by the way, are listed, as always, in the description beneath every video that we release. Now, whilst more often than not, we do get to ride super bikes every day, we do also make sure that we work with a broad range of companies so that we're not completely elitist, right?
No, and I think we should take the opportunity to say thank you to them as well, because without their support, we simply couldn't do what we do.
Now, occasionally, you will also see on some video thumbnails, there'll be an ad stamped into the corner. And then when you click on that video, a little burn-in will say, includes paid for promotion. Now, so these videos are slightly different in that they are one-off videos or short series of videos where we work with a company or perhaps a location to showcase something like a product.
Or a destination.
That would be the logical place to go, wouldn't it? Hey, so Taiwan was the last destination, wasn't it? Basically, we love the place. We wanted to make a video about riding there again. So we approached the tourist board with our plan to see if they'd be able to help make it happen.
In other cases, though, it might be a bike brand with a cool new product that they want us to use and then talk about on a video.
Yeah, so we have ad on the thumbnail and the burn-in because that's what advertising standards say we should do. And which, to be frank, we are more than happy to do as well, right?
Yeah, I think it's that kind of integrity which sets us apart from some others on YouTube. And while having ads so visible might be construed negatively by some people and some viewers, we're quite proud to play by the rules. Very proud, in fact. However, what's really important is that having ad could be slightly misleading because it doesn't mean that anyone has told us what we need to say in that video.
No. This is super, super important, isn't it? Right? So we choose to work with the companies that we work with. And thankfully for us, they also choose to work with GCN, right? So yes, this does mean that sometimes we won't work with a company because they don't meet our criteria.
Which is whether we would either buy that product ourselves or indeed recommend it to family, friends or mates, etc.
Yeah, now this means that we turn down revenue as well. And it's not to say that any brands or products that we don't feature aren't good, just that we don't promote a company or products that we don't rate.
Yeah, which again is a really important one, isn't it? You guys wouldn't know which products and brands we turn down, of course, because we haven't told you, but then we never prioritise revenue over integrity.
Yeah. So fundamentally, we have never set out with any kind of agenda to trick any viewer about anything really in our content, current or historical. We've used the bikes, the equipment, the accessories, the apps that we would choose to use ourselves if we weren't working for a cycling channel or company.
Use or dream about, I guess.
Or just dream about, yeah.
Cases. But both are valid. Except, actually, ironically, when GCN first started, which is what, 12 and a half years ago at this point, we were using bikes, should I say, and equipment that we'd been paid to use in our last year of racing, and which we were hoping our old team didn't notice we still had.
Yeah. You got away with it, didn't you?
I did get away with it.
Now, ultimately, hidden in plain sight, I believe the phrase is. Now, ultimately, we do just want to make great cycling videos, basically. We want to inspire people. We want to inspire you to ride bikes. So, frankly, when we make a video like the one we made last week about our colleagues, Rosa and Naomi, riding 50 miles, and then it gets 10,000 likes and 1,500 comments, like, that makes us happy.
We were really buoyed, weren't
we? Yeah, totally.
Naomi and Rosa were too, of course. Yeah. Great to see. We also know that those types of videos aren't, of course, for everyone. So we also make other videos about niche bits of tech, which interest us and some of you out there as well, or high-end training advice, or Connor getting lost on a bikepacking adventure. Not every video is for every cyclist. We've always stated that quite clearly. But we try to make different types of content that appeal to different types of cyclists.
I don't think Connor often gets lost. I just think he's not very good at planning routes. He knows where he is at all times. It's just whether he should be on that route is another thing entirely.
I retract my statement, Connor.
Yeah. We do make content for different types of cyclists, except mountain bikers.
No,
we don't. We soon realised in the early days that we were not rad enough or cool enough. Now we neither slay nor are lit.
I slay.
Yeah, okay, you slay. But even in our younger days, so we leave it to GMBN, frankly. Yeah.
So apparently skids and wheelies just aren't enough to be relevant in mountain biking these days. You have to do a 30-metre gap jump, no-handed with a blindfold on or something.
Yeah, fails, though, are also quite popular.
They are.
So technically, you only have to be prepared to try a 30-metre gap jump, no-handed wearing a blindfold.
Well, I'm not prepared for that either, are you?
No, I'm definitely not. Now, I guess a lot of you will have questions about what we've talked about here. So please do put them in the comment section. And as always, we will do our best to answer.
We will. To conclude, though, I guess ultimately, GCN exists to make cycling videos, not to sell stuff. Some people might assume that it's the latter, and I'm sure we'll never convince those people otherwise. But I'd say that if we didn't put the viewers first, and I mean that, we wouldn't have lasted this long, which is now almost 13 years, as I mentioned earlier.
Yeah. Authenticity is our number one thing, isn't it? We love doing what we do, and I think we can promise we will never take that for granted.
And now it's time for Cycling Shorts.
Cycling Shorts now, and we'll start with a little bit more tech news.
We've already covered the potential prototype Trek gravel bike, but at the Crotone de Dauphiné, two unreleased new bikes have also been spotted. So first up, Jake Stewart of Israel Premier Tech didn't exactly hide his new factor bike there.
No.
It's an aero bike, but to be fair to him, it says a lot about the bike that you can so clearly spot it in the finish line photo. I mean, look at those forks.
Yeah, I mean, head on, you can see the tyre clearance on this new bike is up to 60 millimetres wide. However, side on, it's actually following the lead of their Hanzo track bike, isn't it? So, to be clear, you can't fit 60mm wide tyres in there. The down tube would absolutely get in the way. But it's got those super wide fork legs and super wide seat stays that are designed to work aerodynamically in tandem with a rider's legs.
Sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It looks amazing.
I think so, yeah.
I can't wait to hear more about that bike. Cervelo also have what looks to be a new S5 aero bike. So this was spotted before on social media, but it had been overshadowed because Jonas Vingegaard was next to it wearing a sleeveless jersey and no socks.
Yeah. I mean, we're fairly shallow, aren't we, Dan?
Very.
Really. Poor Jonas just wanted some different tan lines, and we call him out for being a super dweeb,
Yeah. Lastly, Shimano released a new flagship mountain bike group set last week, the latest in a long line of XTR. This one, though, makes the headlines and, in fact, warrants inclusion here because it's Shimano's first fully wireless group set.
That's right. So the battery sits neatly now in the rear derailleur. Weight, interestingly, Dan, well, maybe not interesting, depends what you think, is about the same as the outgoing wired group set.
Yeah. Interesting.
It is interesting, isn't it? Yeah.
A bit of racing news now, as it appears that Sir Dave Brailsford is set to step back from his role at Manchester United. It's a Premier League football team.
Sorry. Football, is it? Okay.
And return to director of sport for the Ineos Group.
Do we know what that means?
Not really.
No, okay. I mean, it was fairly widely reported last week, wasn't it? Including on the Guardian website. Whether it is true, and indeed what it will actually mean in terms of his role at Ineos Grenadiers, remains to be seen.
Yeah, it's sort of the wider sporting group, as you mentioned, isn't it? So maybe not full on like he used to be at the cycling team.
Well, I mean, when he's dominated football like he has for the last season, you know, why not?
Yeah, I mean, they haven't gone down a division, have they? So that's the result. Anyway, the women's number one rider, who is, of course, Demi Vollering at the moment, was the latest to fall foul of the UCI's literal killjoy rule.
Yes.
That is to say, celebrating a teammate's victory with your arms in the air.
Yeah, oh, the disgrace.
Unbelievable.
Awful, yeah. Demi took to Instagram to say, oops, this finish photo cost me 100 Swiss franc fine, 3 UCI points, and my 6th place. So, yeah.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? Really?
It does seem a bit mean, doesn't it?
I can't imagine she's losing too much sleep over it, though, because she won a stage of the race and the overall, and in fact, her team, FDJ, won all 3 stages of that particular race. Meanwhile, the Women's Tour of Britain, sponsored by Lloyds, Ali Wollaston snatched victory off young British rider Kat Ferguson of Movistar through time bonuses that she picked up over the final stage.
Yeah, now moving on to something completely different that we spotted on Bike Radar. They've been looking at the recently released stats on e-bike riders, actually here in the UK. Now, research conducted by E-Bike Positive... Do you think we can say that it's fairly, like, you know, neutral research from E-Bike Positive? Anyway, shows a dramatic increase in the number of 25 to 34-year-olds who either are or are considering using an e-bike. So that's much higher rates, they found, than older generations.
Which is good, I think, because the younger generation of the future, aren't they? But the current concern is the lack of knowledge or education on e-bikes, i.e. whether or not they're legitimate, safe products, as opposed to those knockoffs that can be dangerous to use or at least to charge.
Yeah, which is a big issue at the moment, isn't it? Weird though, isn't it? Where, like, you don't get it with every battery-powered consumable. You wouldn't really accidentally buy, like, a fake laptop or something, would you?
Maybe
not
you laptop, but maybe lawnmower, don't know.
Young people are buying lawnmowers in their droves, aren't they, at the moment?
Well, yeah. I'd imagine it's more people my age and older buying fake lawnmowers at a cheap price.
Ah, brilliant. We should carry this conversation after the GCN show, because I'm intrigued. Right, moving on from lawnmowers, in fact, to finish cycling shorts, we've got a bit of a kind of request, haven't we, here?
We have.
From GCN. So we are always looking to improve GCN videos. To do that... Well, there's lots of ways we can do it, I guess. But really, we want to know...
New presenters.
Yes, that would help. We need to know what you guys think and what you're doing, what you're riding, all that stuff, so we can basically tailor what we do.
Yeah, type of cycling that you do and also want to see from us, I guess, in many respects. So, we've come up with a survey.
Yeah, we haven't.
We haven't.
No, we haven't.
Somebody here at GCN has come up with a survey.
Someone smarter
than us. John Cannings, it's only going to take 10 minutes or less... to fill this survey out. And it'll be a massive help to us to kind of formulate how we move forwards.
Exactly. So please, we obviously listen, read,
the comments,
more accurately, the comments section, but we appreciate that not everyone writes in the comments section. So this is a great opportunity for the silent majority to make your voices heard. So there's a link in the description beneath this video. Get involved. And if you needed any more incentive than just taking part, we've got a competition prize for grabs, haven't we?
Yeah, so one person who fills the survey out will be picked at random, and they're going to receive a Wahoo Element Ace computer, which is quite a cool prize, isn't it?
It's an amazing prize. So there you go. Double bubble.
Hack. /bodge of the week now. You can, of course, get involved in this part of the show. All you need to do is go to globalcyclingnetwork.com/uploader. Upload there your hacks and bodges that you've done yourself or you've seen out and about. First up this week, an amazing one from Michael Zelgertz, who put, my son forgot his gloves mid-ride. I don't know if you get your gloves mid-ride, maybe at a cafe stop or something.
Unless you were riding along and suddenly went, oh, my gloves! Yeah, I've not been riding with
them. Didn't realise until midway through the ride. Either way, he said, I had some items in my pouch. We removed the fingers on some work gloves, stuffed a garage paper towel and wrapped it with electrical tape. It looks, if you're listening to this as a podcast, looks actually quite a lot better than it sounds.
It does. So they look like kind of, you know, those like nitrile rubber gloves, don't they? And then with a bit of electrical tape across the palm, I sort of... can't help but think that they look good, but would probably feel awful. I mean, can you imagine how sweaty your hands would get?
Why do you need the electrical tape to keep them tight?
Presumably, because you'd wear through them pretty quick on your handlebars, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, two presenters who do not wear gloves when cycling, except when it's cold, are reading this out. So to our minds, and I'm guessing, the question is why? But if you always wear track mitts when you're cycling, then maybe you do need these contraptions.
Well, I'm going to go bodge.
Yeah.
After much deliberation. Did you wear mitts for the Gravel World Championships last year?
Well, I can't remember.
Well,
I think I did, because I think in my head I was thinking mass start, absolute chaos, the chances of someone falling off in front of me and taking me out are such that I would wear mitts.
Confident in your own bike handling skills, but
I mean, I know that sounds like a humble brag,
but
yes.
Everyone around you is not as good on the bike as you are, so you don't take any chances.
Basically, Well, presumably I'll wear them too.
I'll do the same.
Then. Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, I thought you would. Right, now I'm going to go bodge as well.
The bike handling at my end of the race is probably going to be worse.
Well, the difficult bit, and not wanting to put you off, is that everyone is on course at exactly the same time, so you will get overtaken probably by younger, faster cyclists.
Well, I think on the Sunday, not that I've been investigating the UCI Gravel Worlds in depth already, Si, but I have a feeling I'm the last category.
Oh, you'll be right then. You won't get overtaken.
No, I'll be amongst the last of the entire day.
Oh, that'd be the safest place. Going.
Good.
Yeah, no, you'll be fine. Right, okay, next up, we've got this one from Five Laps to Go. My saddle wore through the inseam of my cycling shorts, exposing my inner thigh to painful chafing. Goodness me. So, I haven't seen the photo that accompanies this yet, but I can imagine.
Maybe
not. No, I downed an energy gel and then inserted the empty gel packet between my leg and the shorts. The compressive force of the Lycra kept the packet in place, giving me a pain-free ride home, skin and modesty preserved. This is astonishing.
I'm surprised that shorts that have kind of come away at the seam just slightly chafe more than a gel wrapper against your leg.
Yeah, it's got to be said. I can't think of anything much more uncomfortable than sticking a used gel wrapper down your shorts. But anyway, there we go. I mean, I suppose, Dan, if we're being objective, Five Laps to Go has written in and said that they've done something that has solved a problem.
Do we believe
them? So we should... Well, I mean, I've got no reason not to believe them, even if it beggars belief. But I'm going to say hack. Oh, that's a roadside hack.
I mean, I'm going to say bodge. A gel wrapper down a short leg. No bodge.
I got an inner thigh injury when I was out riding last week with Dan. And unfortunately, it was because I fell off the bike whilst standing still. Which
maybe you should start wearing mitts, signs.
I probably should. What was really embarrassing, so Dan didn't see my little mishap.
It
was pretty loud, wasn't it? But some old guy had just ridden up this climb and was like, oh, bonjour, bonjour. And then I promptly just fell over at the side of the road, and he looked very concerned for my well-being.
You were telling me earlier you got quite a nasty bruise on your inner thigh.
Very nasty bruise, yeah.
True story, unbelievable.
Yeah,
this one came in from Richard. Never seen a bike with a hydraulic disc brake front end combined with a rim brake rear wheel. True hybrid, but why hacker or bodge? Well, into my 79th year, and after several years mountain biking on Australian gravel roads, come back to the UK, found that hard braking was uncomfortable on my rim brake road bike. It's a Dave Yates custom build. It's not a bike to be discarded in favour of a younger model. Eventually found a carbon through-axled fork with steel steerer so I could raise the bars to a height suitable for an 80-year-old, which would accommodate a cable-operated hydraulic disc brake. Sounds like a contradiction, but not so with a TRP high RD brake. Bought Jaguar non-compressible cable for the rear and braking was dramatically improved. There's quite a lot more detail on this, but I
there is, yeah. I mean, this is a highly tricked out bicycle, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
I mean,
I think suspension seat post look.
I think it's absolutely fantastic, and all essentially to keep using a beloved Dave Yates steel frame.
Yeah.
Dave Yates was a bit of a British frame building legend.
He did a wheel building as well. I think I might have got some wheels built up by Dave Yates back in the day.
Big dog.
28 spoke hubs.
There you go. I think this is just wicked, isn't it? I mean, there is a lot going on here, but if it's keeping you riding and it's keeping you having fun, then I'm all for it. That's
keep
a hack
riding,
as well.
Keeping having fun, keeping comfortable. So yes, a hack from us.
Yes, all right. Then we got this one from Ricardo Ferreira. I'm a bike tour guide, and during a tour, we needed a spacer of a specific size for a client's bike. He'd asked for a higher position on the bike, and his wish was our command. The only spacer that would solve this issue on his bike had to be taken from my bike. To replace it, because we were in a scarcely inhabited area of southern Portugal and no bike shops were open on the weekend, we used a bell with a plastic ring which was stiff enough to hold for a couple of days. Crikey, O'Reilly.
Very generous of you, Ricardo, to use the bell with the plastic ring on your bike and not your client's.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose, like, I mean, actually, underneath the stem like that, it is probably doing quite a lot of structural work, isn't it? Certainly keeping the headset tight.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't have done it that way, if I'm being completely honest, but if it worked,
and
it
how
worked.
How would you have done it, Si?
Well, so I would have put the spacer that I was going to borrow above the stem, so dropped his stem a little bit, and then tightened, like, the stem bolts up, done the headset up, tightened the stem bolts up, and then once the stem is tight, you can then remove the spacer that's above it because it's not doing anything anymore. And then I would have donated it to my client.
Oh, okay.
So I might have had a position that was about 5 mil lower, but I wouldn't have had that slightly dodgy situation.
More aero. Jobs are good.
Well, exactly. Yeah. I'm going to say bodge.
I was going to say bodge, but I don't know, a one hack. So I was almost a full house of bodges this week. the Dave Yates bike saved things.
Well, we've had a full house of hacks before. I think that's only fair. Right, make sure you keep your hacks and bodges coming in. We do enjoy this part of the show. So, yeah, you can do that, as Dan said, by going to GCN Uploader. It's time now for Caption Competition, that part of the show where you get a chance to get your hands on a coveted GCN Camelback water bottle. All you got to do is put a witty caption in the comments section down below. We'll pick a winner next week. We'll start with the results, shall we, first?
Let's start by describing last week's photo for podcast listeners.
Okay.
This was from the final day of the Giro d'Italia, where Red Bull took themselves a Formula One car there and attached a bike on the top of it. I got a couple of honourable mentions this week, so there's a few good caption entries. Firstly, from Craig Hillis. Caption competition, Red Bull's GC hopes go up in smoke.
Nice.
Very good.
That made me chuckle.
Andy Halpin, the spirit of gravel, 2026.
Yeah.
Making bike looking very fast. But the winner this week is Standard Lamp. We've just put Formula N plus one.
Nice. Suited there.
Very clever.
I think your username's even more amusing than the caption, to be fair.
You love the username, not the caption.
Why are you called Standard Lamp? I don't know. Anyway, perhaps you could fill us in on that particular detail in the comment section this week. But no, get in touch and we will get your GCN Camelback water bottle out to you. It's a pretty cool thing to rock up to a bike race with an F1 car, isn't
it,
really?
It's like pretty cool.
Yeah. So you've got Lidl supermarkets, you've got whatever. We've got F1 cars.
Yeah.
But right, the photo we're going to give you this week is one of Jonas Vingegaard and Tadej Pogacar. At the Criterium de Dauphiné.
At the start of yesterday's stage, if you're watching this on a Tuesday, Jonas in green, Tadej in yellow. Not often you get Jonas Vingegaard in a green jersey, but there you go. I will get you started. Hey, Jonas, if you go yellow with Cervelo, I'll go green with envy.
Nice.
Cheers, mate.
See what you did there, mate.
Thank you.
Yeah. If you think you can beat that, get involved in the comments section.
We will shortly let you know what's coming up on GCN this week, but first up, we've pulled out some of our favourite comments from the last week's worth of videos, starting with a few from underneath last week's show, which is how it's Unbound getting so much faster every year.
Which we filmed on a beach.
Yeah,
we
south
say,
of France. We
were
in Nice, didn't we? But some people caught us out. Actually, that's Menton.
You said
you're
Nice.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't want to correct you at the time. But
I just thought, you know, more people know where Nice is, don't they?
Right. That is true, yeah.
Anyway, Peter Thomas wrote in to say, love this video. I'd imagine that most pro editors would have edited out all the childish banter and dubious comments from Dan and Si, but having left them in has only added to the enjoyment for us viewers. Don't ever change it. Isaac, who's here in the room with us now, filming the GCN show, he also edits it. He was a bit offended by this comment.
He thought initially.
He's saying I'm not a pro editor.
Because I've left in all of the crap. but we tried to reassure him that no. It makes you a particular type of pro editor who's chosen to leave in the crap for the added enjoyment of one or two people. But anyway, yes, I'm glad you enjoyed it, Peter. Then Pion Irish said, after years of asking what is the spirit of gravel, I think you finally have the answer from its post-mortem. It was chilling out in feed zones during races. So there we go. That was my take home from Ted King.
It was actually quite accurate, isn't it?
Basically, yeah. Like, that sums it right up. Although a lot of people are also pointing out that the spirit of gravel was alive and well for 4,800 or so people at Unbound that weren't getting a bit overly serious.
Yeah. Acoustic Marine wrote in to say they had beer in the feed zones way back when. This is why I'm refusing to do it next year.
Because they don't have it anymore?
No.
I presume you could take some.
I'll give it a miss anyway, I think.
I wonder whether people still drink pickle juice in the feed zones. Because I was watching the tennis at the weekend and Sinner, world number one, was drinking pickle juice.
Was he?
I was like, I wonder whether...
It was a five-hour match, isn't it?
Well, I know, but I was like, I wonder whether he's seen our Unbound video from... way back when. Huh? Our presenter, Catherine, got disqualified for drinking pickle juice.
Outside assistance.
It was quite a controversy at the time, yeah. And then I put this one in down for you. R. Langer said, if I never see a stupid-looking face on a YouTube thumbnail again, it'll be too soon. And I was like, I want it. Oh, it was Dan's face on the thumbnail.
Actually, there was a couple of comments on that.
What about your stupid-looking face?
I chose not to include in my favourite comments, but nice of you to put one in.
That's all right.
Meanwhile, underneath, what happens if you try cycling 50 miles with zero experience? Incredible comments.
Oh, yeah, so cool.
Video. It's so good to read last week. We've only picked out three, though. Detour CC wrote in to say, this is probably one of... if not the best GCN videos to date. Clearly shows what cycling is about. Support, help, fun, looking after each other, and most importantly, having a good time. Well done, GCN.
I read that comment and I thought to myself, that's where we've been going wrong with our cycling all this time. Because I was thinking about my background in cycling, which is, broadly speaking,
not
racing. Yeah, it was like support, no. Help, definitely not. Fun, sometimes. Looking after each other, absolutely not. Trying to get one over each other. And having a good time, which, again, happens occasionally. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely not about racing, that's for sure.
No. James Henry said, it's hard not to smile watching this vid. There's something special about watching people fall in love with cycling. Couldn't agree more, James. Whilst Nick and Jay put, Connor's the perfect mentor for them because drivers will be more patient because it looks like a father taking his two daughters out for a ride.
Right, they'll be more patient just because he's so intimidating, basically. Mm. Yeah, when you don't know him, that is. Underneath Sunday's video, the most important aspect of cycling performance that no one ever talks about. This is about fatigue resistance. Derek Castillo said, when I raced many, many years ago, I used to say, you have a great sprint, but can you take your sprint to the line with you? That's quite a good comment, isn't it?
Yeah, just basically how much can you keep in reserve to actually use it? Because there's plenty of people with 5 second and 10 second power similar to World Tour sprinters, aren't there? But the ability to use it at the end, not so much. Ryan L. Cooper said, big part of this is surely just the ability to endure pain. And I would agree with that one as well.
Yeah.
I pulled out this one to get you back for what you just said earlier about my face on the YouTube thumbnail.
Oh, thanks.
Johnny Cash, why does he talk like an annoyed teenage girl chewing gum? Now, I didn't know the answer to this side, but thankfully somebody else in the comments seems to know.
Oh, they?
Yeah, Ahu74 said, because he has a very large overbite and recessed lower jaw.
Goodness me. Well, I mean, you do learn some things in the comments section, don't you? Like,
I hope they both take our survey.
I hope they don't. Johnny Cash and Ahu74. I'm not entirely sure I want to know any more of your opinions now. But yeah, annoyed teenage girl chewing gum. What even is that?
Well,
like, whatever.
If you listen back to your video, you find out. Right, what's coming up this week then? On Thursday, well, I've got a bit of an update for you because Manchester to London, the charity ride, is looming large at this point.
It is indeed.
Less than 2 weeks to go.
Whoa.
It's 12 days to be very precise as we record this. So I'm going to have an update on my training, what I've been doing to prepare, how I'm feeling about it, and I've got a new bike for the event.
Ooh, that's cool. Yeah. At least you know as well that if you start getting saddle sores, you can just stick a gel wrapper down as well.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
if I get any rips in my kit.
Well, even if you don't, maybe I just try sitting on a gel, see what happens. On Friday, you will need this video, Dan, for Manchester to London. It's how to improve your average speed.
Okay.
Oh, try and get in under 24
that.
Hours.
Glad that's coming out a week before.
Yeah, and then, well, we're super, super, super excited about Saturday's video, in particular, because it is Alex Payton's Unbound.
Does Alex do Unbound? Haven't heard about that.
We didn't talk about it very much beforehand, but yes. We are busy working hard to get that one ready. Just can't wait to see it, personally.
No, it's going to be a good one, that's for sure. All right, thanks everyone for watching, especially those who've got to the end of the GCN show this week. We'll be back again this time next week.